So if you think 3,700,000 people in the in the continental U.S., so that's excluding Alaska, Hawaii, you know, the Virgin Islands, where, you know, the continental U.S. was 3,700,000 people. And the researchers felt, based upon their own numbers, of the number of abductees they've worked with and have contacted them and letters they've received, you know, they actually felt that that number was conservative.
Oh, wow.
You know, and like I said, only continental U.S., excluding Alaska and Hawaii, you know, and also excluding the rest of the world.
Exactly.
And a lot of researchers have come to realize that, if anything, there seems to be more abduction numbers, like the significance number, or, you know, the percentage seems to go up in South American countries, even more than here, you know. And we hear about it here because of our media paying attention to it, but and also the lack of coverage about things like this that happen in other countries, that we don't hear about it here. But in other countries, it's prevalent and it's news, and it's even accepted in some, you know, South America, Brazil, you know, this kind of place. So, you know, I think there's more numbers that can be done on that over time, but it suggests that certainly these numbers are very high worldwide. And we're obviously looking at a number much bigger than 3,700,000. But even if you go back to 3,700,000, let's even just say, you know, let's cut that by a third and say 1,000,000. You know, anything happening of this covert nature, meaning alien abduction, anything happening in a covert nature, such as alien abduction, to over 1,000,000 people in the U.S. alone would be a matter of interest to national security.
Exactly.
Especially something happening with in such a militaristic way as technology being used, as a intrusion, as, you know, you just take the word itself, abduction. You know, if 1,000,000 people in the country are being abducted by any group of people, yeah, they care. And what is the nature of that? Plus, you add that with what we know about crash retrievals, with what we know about insiders coming out and talking about their involvement in the greater understanding of the development of the technology and the alien presence, and you start to go, and the fact that this was all handed off to the military back in the 40s, you know, you start to go, wait a second. If this has become this huge intelligence operation, covert ops, black ops military, you know, operation in the retrieval of technology and the development of it, and then you go into like what Corso was saying about applying some of that technology out into the mainstream, and was some of it leaked out, you know. And you start to look at all this, and suddenly their interest in abductees, just based upon the number of abductees alone, makes total sense.
Yeah.
And it makes such perfect sense that it wouldn't make sense if it didn't exist. In other words, it makes perfect sense that they have an interest in the abductees, just on the numbers alone, also based upon what they might or might not know about the alien presence that they would want to know more about. And so they're going to be interested in the abductees just based upon the numbers, and then they're going to be interested in what they might know based upon what these guys need to know. Or you know, even the possibility. And so I think based upon the possibility, you get into why then it should be happening to more abductees. Well, it's not. You know, it's still a rather small percentage. Yeah, the military involvement. The military involvement aspect is happening to a lot of abductees, but not all of them.
Yeah.
By any means. I mean, you know, I haven't, not enough work has been done on it to say the numbers. You know, I can't say 1 in 20, you know, or 2 in 20, or 1 in 100. You know, I can't say that. But I can say that it's a lot. And it's increasing, but you would also think, based upon what they might be looking for and what they might be developing, that it would make sense over you know, the last 50 years, and certainly with that over the last 20 years, that it might be increasing.
Yeah.
And so that's what you have. And as I said, it, you know, it, so therefore it's like, okay, it makes sense that it's happening. if it should be happening, if there should be this national security interest, that there should be this black ops involvement, is there evidence for that? And yes, there is, based upon what's happening to people, the witnesses to it, the tampering that, you know, people are photographing their helicopter harassment and videotaping it, you know, and there's witnesses to the harassment surveillance. There's evidence often left behind, even in these scenarios. I mean, it seems that when it comes to human doing these things, as much evidence is left behind or is given by the aliens. The aliens seem to be better at being covert, be better at covering their tracks. I mean, even they don't completely, but the humans, they're sloppy.
Yeah, they make mistakes.
Stuff happens, you know. So I think there's not only is there evidence for this happening, but that this happening is such evidence again, such evidence for the reality of alien abductions. And, as I also said, tells us so much about what do they know, when did they know it, where are they at with it, meaning those involved in covering this up, and what, you know, what are they developing, you know, and why are they doing it, you know, and therefore, I think this military involvement abduction scenario becomes more than just being important to the abduction community. I think it's important to the entire UFO community, and in fact, any group of people looking at the angle of larger reasons why government does stuff. You know, like I say, conspiracy angle, but I mean more than that, really. You know, I think this is important to understand because I think it relates on so many levels. And you know, it's taken me years to come to the point where I can say that as strongly as I do. So.
Now, do you find with the people that you talk to, these my labs, I wrote my labs in the notes.
So oh, sure, that's fine.
It's easier for me. do you find that the my labs are like, is there a recurring pattern here? Let me rephrase it like this. Someone gets abducted, then they have the harassment and the military experience. Does another abduction follow, or does the military experience usually put a stop to the abductions?
No, the military experience does not put a stop to the abductions. But I'm saying this very loosely. Like, again, this isn't one of those areas where I've looked at it specifically enough to say definitively.
Well, it's a new area.
But I can kind of say loosely that it seems that the alien abductions slow down and lessen when someone starts having a lot of the military stuff. And I've kind of just had a theory, and again, I say this loosely. I can't
base
this upon numbers. This is just my feeling of where this is going, is that when you start to have the military experiences, to the aliens, you're like tainted by it. You become like damaged goods.
Yeah.
You know? I think it makes sense if what they're trying to do is covert and they're trying to not have the government or the military or those involved know fully what they're doing, then, and you're an abductee who's having a lot of experience with them, and then you have the military stuff, and then the aliens know that, and I think that's clear that the aliens probably know when you've got this going on, that suddenly, you know, well, it's like, well, if they don't want to be found out, you know, this sounds kind of creepy, but, you know, I mean, if they don't want to be found out, then obviously the fact that they know that the military is going to be getting more information from you, they're like, well, we're going to stop providing any more information to this person because then at this point we know they're a spy, basically, you know. And what happens in the reabduction scenario, it's funny that I got into the spy thing, but that's one of the things that happens in the reabduction scenario, is often the abductee is given post-hypnotic suggestions to retain certain kind of information should they be picked up again. And what happens is they have another abduction experience, and then, boom, you have another military experience. So what happens to the people who've had both, it seems like you have a lot of the alien, then you have alien and military, and then you've got both going on, and at some point the alien ones start subsiding as the military ones increase, and all of a sudden you don't have either going on. And, you know, and I think it's because you're a risk to the aliens, and yet you're not useful now to the military guys because you're not providing them the information they want.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of crazy, but I've seen this happen in a couple of, you know, a couple of scenarios. Again, it's one of those things is like as the research goes forward, I can look at more strongly.
Yeah.
You know, for instance, the research from time to time takes different directions as different things come up and are more prevalent. And one thing, for instance, that's come up in the past but is prevalent for me now and I'm kind of looking at right now is that in the re-abductions that the people have where they have the military experiences is some of these abductees get used in military procedures, like in training procedures, in war game scenarios, this kind of thing.
Really?
And it was always kind of there, and I didn't know really what to make of it. And recently, because of two recent cases where this has come up more prevalently, I'm now wanting to look at that more and say, again, if it's understanding what do the covert guys know and how long have they known it, you know, I can kind of say, okay, based upon what kind of procedures these people are being used in, do we know, can we then kind of know what their next move is by the cover-up guys, you know, and more, it's also a deepening understanding of why the military guys are interested in those abductees. What is it about those abductees that would make the military guys want to involve them in some kind of war game scenario or testing or, you know, what and why those particular abductees and not some other abductees? You know, some abductees, it seems to be more medical, and some it seems to be more technical, and some it seems to be, you know, and I'm not sure why that is, but it's come up. And also, you know, to me it's like, well, obviously there's some kind of preparation by the covert ops guys, and what are they preparing for?
Huh.
You know, that's a concern. It's like, you know, are they planning to go to war? You know, is it just Cold War? Is it war? Is it just about the technology development? If it is about the technology development, is it because they plan on using it? And they're going to use it against who and why, you know?
Exactly.
And so I get down to, you know, and so when they're involving the abductees. Now, one thing I can say is the involvement of the abductees is not, and this, I can say this, I don't know that I can say this definitively, but I have a strong sense based upon how it's coming up in the cases I'm working with, that it's not about them using the abductee. It's not like they're creating post-it hot spies of the abductees that they're going to use in some military way, or they're going to, you know, the abductees are being trained for some military operation. No.
Yeah.
No. It's more like they're developing training procedures, and they're trying to duplicate the way the abductees may process information or the way they react, not because they plan on using the abductee, but because they're developing a procedure that they're going to train military guys.
So like they're reverse engineering via the abductees.
Yeah, exactly. That's a great way to look at it. Hey, I'm gonna borrow that.
Go for it.
That's perfect the way you said that, you know, because that's exactly what it is. And so it doesn't appear that the abductees are going to be used in some way. I think the abductees are way too much of a risk to them. But how we might be able to do something, how we might be able to react, you know, and this gets into a strange area where a lot of what the abductees do falls into the paranormal qualities. And this paranormal aspect, the telepathy, mind control, mind reading, remote viewing, telekinesis, moving matter with your mind, affecting matter, that kind of stuff seems to be the procedures that they're involving the abductees in, that they're trying to duplicate and then train military guys how to do.
Yeah. Now,
because obviously, and again, it's kind of weird because it gets at, are they preparing for a possible scenario? Or are they preparing for a scenario they know is coming? And that I'm uncomfortable with all those things, but being uncomfortable doesn't mean I shouldn't look at it if it's coming up in my research. I should say, okay, this is coming up, and I need to see if I can, you know, get anything that's consistent amongst it. And right now I'm just getting sporadic accounts kind of here and there, but you know, it's kind of where, you know, it's my latest area of interest in my research.
Now,
like I said, it changes from time to time.
Exactly.
So I think next year I'm going to be on to something else.
Well, it's a new sort of area. It's a new field of research, really, in the last 10 years or so, would you say? So I can see how it's evolving as you find out more information about it.
Oh, yeah. It has constantly evolved. I mean, since I really started to kind of look into it in 93, 94, you know, since then, it is constantly evolved. And at different times, I had, you know, different areas of it that I was, you know, most interested in.
Yeah.
You know, and it's all based upon the cases I get, people who are referred to me, and what's happening to them. And, you know, and I just follow the evidence, you know?
Yeah.
And so when I get a bunch of cases that are bringing up one particular thing, I follow that, you know? And so it's constantly evolving and moving forward.
And now in some of your cases, this one kind of stood out to me. I wanted to ask you about it. You said there are instances where people talk about greys and humans working together.
Oh, yes.
Can you just speak to that a little bit? Because obviously that's fascinating in and of itself.
Well, you know, it's a complicated area, but absolutely, and has come up repeatedly, sometimes to lesser degrees, sometimes to greater degrees, and not just greys, other types of alien beings too, although predominantly greys. But now, it doesn't mean everyone who has the reabduction. Okay, so first off, you know, not everyone has the reabduction.
Yeah.
But, you know, let's say you do have that aspect of the scenario. In the reabduction, it's usually about an interrogation. Sometimes there's medical. And then, of course, like I said, there's this role-playing stuff and this war game stuff and technology operations, you know, different mm-hmm. things. And those things are rare. But in there, also very rare, is the abductee, for instance, being taken to an underground military installation, apparently military. I mean, there's guys in military uniforms, so we assume, therefore, it's military because military uniforms are seen.
Yeah.
It could be a science installation. We'll rule that out, that kind of thing. And they predominantly are with humans in a human environment, but we'll see the presence of what appears to be an alien, or they'll interact with an alien, or an alien will be brought in to perform a certain procedure on the abductee, even though the majority of the experience was at the hands of humans. And then there's also like myself and two friends who had that experience where it was predominantly an alien experience in every way. There just happened to be a guy in military uniform on board the ship, like he was monitoring what was happening. Now that to me is even weirder.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
How out of place was that? And the three of us saw this independent of each other and didn't even talk to each other about it. It came out in our regressions, you know. And it just, to all three of us, seemed completely out of place.
Yeah.
That there'd be this person in uniform. Not like he was another abductee. That might make sense, because abductees do sometimes see other abductees. But in this case, he seemed to be there in some official capacity, like he was watching or monitoring. Yet it was a great ship with grays. You know,
yeah,
what's
yeah.
with that? And so you have that odd scenario, too. But mostly what people would report, or an abductee report who's had the reabduction, is to say, you know, I was in this underground military base. They had me in this room. I walked down this hallway. It was normal lighting. There were desks and chairs and, you know, whatever. And door handles and, you know, all this stuff that make them go, well, this is completely human, you know.
Yeah.
And then they might be on a table with apparently human doctors, but then all of a sudden in walks this one alien.
Yeah.
And it does something to them, or looks at them, or whatever, or is involved, or does the mind thing that aliens are infamous for doing in abductions, and then leaves, and then yet the rest is human. It's like, well, wait a second. You know, that seems odd. Or they have an interrogation, and in the midst of their interrogation, in the background, they might see two guards and an alien walk by. Now, I think most of these scenarios, not I think, this is what's come up in the research, and this is what the abductees generally report to me, is that this is staged.
Oh, really?
That they're being shown the alien on purpose multi-level. It could be to cause confusion in them. It could be to cause fear. It could be to get them to open up more, you know, to kind of like, we know more about this kind of thing, so you can go ahead and tell us more because we know more.
Yeah, like aliens are here, so don't worry, you're not going to disobey them or something.
So, and also sometimes just to confuse the abductee, sometimes to cause fear in the abductee, they seem to be like, if they see an alien present with the military, it seems to be deliberate. That's not like by mistake. It's like, oh, quick, get the alien out of here. She saw her. You know, the guy on the table saw the alien. Uh-oh, you know, it's no, not like that. It seems to be staged and deliberate.
So,
but except for in a few scenarios where people see multiple aliens with the military and multiple interacting, and then it seems to be like, we don't care that you see this. But again, I think it's like you just said, like the aliens are here, we know, you know, like it's a confirmation kind of thing.
Yeah.
Where they're like letting you in on it. I think if you're an abductee who's being let in on that part where you're being shown the presence of aliens interacting with them, it's to cause you to open up. It's like they think this will either increase your memory or increase your willingness to talk about it, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
That seems to be there. And then in some weird scenarios, now get this is another area that when this first started to come up in my abductions was extreme, not me, but it's not happened in my own experience, but with cases and working with other people.
Yeah.
An extremely uncomfortable area is, and I don't want anyone to jump to any conclusions with this, because I've had to sort this out quite a bit, is sometimes they will bring in a person in an alien costume in the midst of what apparently is a completely human experience. Okay, but there'll be something there that is without a doubt and obvious to the abductee to be a fake alien.
Yeah.
Usually when they're reporting it to me, they're like, you know, they did the weirdest thing. This guy put on a mask. And it's clear to the abductee because usually there's drugs induced in conjunction with this.
Yeah.
And all the abductees that have reported this to me have said that it caused them to be confused as to the nature of that particular experience. Like, okay, when we induce the drugs to get you to forget that this has happened, okay, when they start the mind control procedures for you to say, okay, this has not been a human experience or that this is not happy. You know, I mean, because the human guys definitely tried. I mean, even though, like I said earlier, I was joking about them being sloppy, they absolutely try to cover their tracks.
Yeah.
And they use a lot of hypnosis, drugs, and mind control procedures in the process to do that. And often in the inducement of the commands that you're not going to remember this, and the inducement of drugs, this kind of stuff, is sometimes when this person in an alien costume thing will be introduced. And it is either to influence your memory, where you're then going to see that, and they try to maybe get you to focus on that, so you're going to think it's an alien experience. In the event, A, they don't want you to remember at all, but if you do remember, you might think it's an alien experience. Or, just to cause confusion and add to the bizarreness, so if you do remember it, you're just going to discount it.
Yeah.
Because the few abductees that have reported this to me kind of said they kind of discounted it initially, and when they brought it up, you know, it's like the last thing they're going to bring up with me. They're bringing up other stuff. They're talking to me, and they hem and haw and go, you know, this is really weird. You know, what do you think of this? You know? And the first time I heard it, I'm like, oh, God, how uncomfortable, you know, because part of me didn't want to say this is all human, there are no aliens, which some people listening might say, well, see, there are no aliens, gosh, it's all human stuff. But that actually doesn't apply when you really closely look at all the evidence for both. The alien experiences to the abductee are so alien in every way. They're alien environments, alien equipment, alien procedures. The air is self-luminous. There isn't a light source. That's an example. You know, everything is said with telepathy. You know, if there are doors, there aren't handles. Doors, but there's usually not doors. The The floor is usually odd. The ceilings are odd. You know, I mean, again, the environments are alien. You know, the procedures are alien. The aliens act in a weird way. Half of what they do doesn't make sense. What they do is awfully so confusing. There seems to be a pressure feeling difference in the room, an electrical quality, all these things. In the human experiences, what the abductees report to me is the reason they know it's human is because everything about it is human. The people talk, they're wearing uniforms, they're wearing lab coats and doctor's outfits. It's a human environment.
Two different worlds.
Two different worlds, down to the way it feels, you know.
Yeah.
Not just how it looks, but how it feels, how it sounds, everything. And so the abductees are usually very clear when it's one versus the other, which is why when you get this scenario of a person in an alien costume, it seems so out of place.
Yeah.
And it becomes apparent to the abductee. It's like, you know, and maybe initially they discounted it because it was just this other weird layer that made them just go, you know, I can't even deal with this, you know.
Yeah.
But you know, often I've had abductees have this epiphany even while telling me their experiences and go, you know, I know that was a person in a costume. That didn't make sense, you know.
Yeah.
And then sometimes I've had some abductees report that they thought maybe it was someone in a costume, but maybe they weren't certain, and maybe there was actually an alien present. And, you know, so I don't ever try to tell the abductee, well, it was a person in a costume, or it was an alien, or it was military, or it was an alien experience. I usually let the abductee tell me what they think it is.
Yeah.
And if they say, have you ever heard anything like this? And if I can report back a scenario or two that sounds just like what they're saying, suddenly that gives them, they're like, oh, okay, and then they go on to the next thing. And a lot of abductees start to have, you know, almost spontaneous recall while talking about their experiences when it becomes okay to talk to someone
yeah.
so they feel comfortable.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, even that's what makes the regression successful. It's not, you know, hypnosis is just someone giving you permission for you to remember.
Yeah.
You know, they're giving you permission and getting you in a relaxed state where you give yourself permission to remember, where, you know, an experience. And anyways, I don't want to get into this whole thing about hypnosis. Because truth is, when it comes to abductions, this is often not talked about, when it comes to abductions, most of it is remembered consciously.
Yeah.
Most experiences, when you go to get regression based upon your conscious memories, where you have this piece and this piece and this piece, and you're trying to make it make sense.
Exactly, yeah.
But it's mostly unconscious memory. And with these military experiences, I would say are, I won't say all 100% conscious memory, but I will say such a high percentage of conscious memory.
Yeah.
That the abductee has remembered this consciously. And that's where I get down to the, you know, the humans, even with the administering of drugs and procedures and stuff, you know, it's amazing given that the abductee remembers anything at all. Yet not only do the abductees remember, but they usually remember on their own. You know, often it surfaces initially in the form of a dream or something, but once they start to remember it, then it just, it's like the full memory of the experience comes back. So the ability of these military guys to cover up what they're doing and to cause an abductee to forget isn't really good. I mean, you know, the abductee has questions and stuff, but, you know, usually, like I said, there's just a lot of conscious memory there.
Now, some of these, this sort of just popped into my head, but some of these people that did get drugged, I remember in your notes, it said that they still sort of feel the effects the next day a little bit. Has anyone ever gotten, like, a blood test or anything afterwards?
Yes, yes.
And what kind of results do you get from those?
One abductee, as an example, comes to mind right away. It wasn't immediately afterwards because she didn't think to get it immediately, but over a period of time, I think it was just within a couple months. Of a major military experience where she had been given a bunch of drugs. Someone suggested to her that she could have that tested via her hair.
Yeah.
And they did test, and they came up, apparently were able to determine what kind of hallucinogenic drugs had been given to her and other drugs. I can't remember the names of them or anything,
yeah.
but it was known stuff. and they were able to determine that one of the drugs is only manufactured in one NSA lab.
Oh, really?
It's so rare, I don't know the full thing here, but they were able to research that they were able to determine, maybe it is made in other places, but that it is made in this one NSA lab and it is extremely rare.
So it's a pretty strong piece of evidence, though.
Yeah.
That's good.
And so she has many abductees, many of the abductees who report the military stuff say one of the things that they know right away and they have conscious memory right away is the next day is how they feel. I mean, and they start to realize that there's this, you know, pattern to the way they feel.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that tells them that they just had a military experience and not an alien experience is because they'll be completely wiped out the next day.
Yeah.
And spend the day in bed, you know, and that doesn't happen after the alien experiences. I mean, it does, but it's rare. And most abductees know the symptoms. If they've had multiple alien experiences, they know the symptoms before and after. And then when you start to notice that you have different symptoms after the military experiences, and often it's because, well, there's a lot of physicality. I was going to say physical abuse, but I'll just say physicality.
Yeah.
That leaves the person extremely exhausted because of the physicality of the military experiences. And often abuse, so sometimes there's more bruising and this kind of thing after the military experiences, even more than the aliens. There's usually not a lot of it after the aliens. There is some bruising, but there's usually more after the military experience, especially if the person resists. When you're resisting the humans, it's just as if you got in a fight during the day and resisted, you know,
yeah,
resisted in a fight situation, and you're going to have those same kind of injuries.
Yeah.
And so people have these kinds of injuries, and then they also have the effects of being drugged. And this can cause all sorts of things, everything from feeling hungover, you know, typical hangover kind of feelings the next day, to more bizarre and more difficult things to deal with, you know, feeling really sick.
Yeah.
And this is reported quite often after the military experience.
And from also from your notes here, it says, consistently the Mylabs were worse than the ET abductions. That's what the people say. Now, you wouldn't...
As far as frightening experiences, long story short, because I don't need to get into depth, although it's someone who's significant, who works with a number of abductees and is very qualified to know these things, who is also herself an abductee, just told me recently that she started to come to the conclusion, now this wasn't extreme, but she started to come to the conclusion, whenever she has a really like negative alien experience, that it's actually a military experience.
Oh, really?
Now, that's a far reach because the truth is there are a lot of people who are very traumatized by their alien experiences, and that's usually what causes one to start self-investigating or needing help initially is because they're traumatized by their experience. Now, granted, not everyone is traumatized by their alien experiences, and usually after a period of time, that trauma goes away and there starts to be some kind of level of acceptance or interaction. But initially, it's usually traumatic.
Yeah.
On varying levels, but, you know, usually a fear-based trauma. In the military experiences, though, everyone I know who's had lots of both kinds of experiences, or not even lots of both, but has had alien and then military, have all across the board, I mean, I think I've heard this from absolutely everybody, everyone has told me that their military experiences are worse.
Yeah.
Worse meaning more physical, more difficult, more frightening, more confusing.
Oh, really?
More traumatic. I mean, the military guys, it seems that the part of the mind control aspect of getting the abductee to forget what's happened to them usually or quite often involves a level of trauma. And the aliens tend to bring you back in one piece. And yes, you're often traumatized by the fear of the experience, but it's usually not because the aliens try to induce trauma.
Yeah.
The military guys deliberately try to induce trauma. induce a state of fear, a state of panic, physical abuse, this kind of thing, often associated or in correlation, you know, with the drugs, in connection to drugging you. But everyone has said, you know, people say, you know, look, I've had abductees repeatedly say, look, I'm not wild about my NN experiences. I wish they hadn't happened. But the military guys are a lot worse. You know, I mean, they treat you worse. They're meaner.
Yeah.
I mean, they're meaner. They're rougher. I've had this said to me. I've never had anyone say, my alien experiences were as bad as my military.
Yeah.
Or my alien experiences were worse than my military.
Yeah.
Every single person that's related these experiences to me thus far, you know, thus far, everyone has said, and I've never had to ask them, I mean, it's come up every time, my military experiences were worse. And, you know, it's just, pardon my language, but these guys are assholes.
Yeah. Well, it's just not as good as the ETs, I guess, in abduction.
Well, the ETs aren't always great, but...
Yeah, but, you know...
They're not as rough, and it's not as scary. And the other thing is, too, a lot of times there's more trauma just solely based upon the fact that there's the shock of other humans doing this to you.
Yeah.
First thought, that they're doing this to me, you know it's immoral, you know it's illegal, you know it's unconstitutional. There's more rage in the abductee.
Exactly, yeah.
The abductee doesn't have that much rage. Sometimes they have rage against the aliens. I shouldn't say they don't, but quite often they don't have rage against the aliens, but they do have rage against the military. With the military, it's more like, how dare they? I mean, it's like we can almost say the aliens are aliens. They don't know better. And there's a lot of abductees come to terms with their experience by saying, these guys don't know better. They're clumsy. They don't know, you know. But with the military, it's like, how dare they? They know what they're doing is wrong. They know it's unconstitutional. They know it's illegal. They know when they're doing something immoral.
Yeah.
You know, they know when they're hurting you that it's hurting you and that they're hurting you on purpose. Mm-hmm. They know that. And they're evil. You know, what can I say? They're just evil.
Yeah.
And that's what the abductees report.
That does it for this week's edition of Been All of America Audio. I want to thank Melinda Leslie for sitting down and talking to us for so long. She'll be back next week with Been All of America Audio as we delve into in-depth discussion on the Minders, these folks that sort of glom on to various people in the abductee world. Her co-author's frightening story. I mean, this story will freak you out. And that's going to be next week. And what other researchers have to say about Melinda Leslie's work. She discusses various aspects of their cases and stuff like that. You're going to like that. And tons more. And that's all next week on Been All of America Audio. And you can find that at beenallofamerica.com. I want to thank Leslie and Chiron of beenallofamerica.com for your help and support with the audio series. And, of course, I want to thank all you great listeners out there. I hope the extended break wasn't too long and you've found us again and you're back into the fold. I want to remind you all that you should check out beenallofamerica.com for daily updates of various esoteric news, commentary, humor. It's all there at beenallofamerica.com. In light of the return of Been All of America Audio, we've actually redesigned the beenallofamerica.com mothership site. I hope you check it out, and you can find that at www.beenallofamerica.com. Thanks to all the great websites out there that have been linking up to us as well, theanomalist.com and dailygrail.com. That is much appreciated. And again, to all the great listeners out there who find us somehow, tell their friends, post it in their blog, you know, attach a link in an email to somebody important. All you people out there who are doing the legwork for us, I appreciate it. Much thanks. So until you hear from me again next week, this is Tim Benall, signing off.